and welcome to the Public School Matters podcast presented by the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. I'm Catherine Joyce, NCASA's Executive Director, and joining me as she does for each episode is Legal Affairs and Policy Manager Elizabeth Yelverton. Together, we talk about the legislative and policy news affecting our public schools in North Carolina.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. This week, Catherine and I are discussing spooky season, and we don't mean Halloween. This week, we're talking about the November elections.
That's right, Elizabeth. Election Day in North Carolina is Tuesday, November 8th. And even though it's not a presidential election year, there are still plenty of key races happening. And we know several of the candidates and our two major parties in North Carolina definitely are scared of what some of the voters will be deciding at the ballot box on that important day.
That's right, Catherine. And this year, we have a lot of key races happening. We have one U.S. Senate seat, 14 U.S. House seats, several state offices, including every single one of the 170 seats in the North Carolina General Assembly, some very important state Supreme Court seats, and also we can't forget our local races, such as school boards and county commissioners.
There's a lot at stake in all of those races, but since most of our work is done on the state level, that's where we will be focusing most of our time during this podcast. But we definitely recommend that our listeners do your own research on all the candidates before heading out to the polls. And we know that all of us need to be voting for supporters of public education up and down the ballot.
Absolutely. And, you know, with North Carolina being such a purple state, meaning we have, you know, a pretty even balance between Democrats and Republicans and now even unaffiliated voters, you never truly know what's going to happen in each election. It's always a surprise. But we do know, however, that the party that's not in the White House historically makes gains during midterm elections. And that's kind of what we're seeing or expecting this year.
Very true, Elizabeth. And with Democrats in charge of the White House and both chambers of Congress, we know Republicans on both the federal and state levels are hoping to gain more power in these upcoming elections.
That's certainly what our Republican state leaders are hoping for. As I mentioned before, every single one of the 170 seats in the North Carolina General Assembly, so 50 in the Senate and 120 in the House, are up for election. But is every seat really up for grabs, Catherine?
The answer to that is yes and no. Well, kind of a nebulous answer, right?
It's a lawyer answer for sure, so I like it.
And I'm not even a lawyer, but I am a longtime advocate, so I guess it's okay for me to be nebulous too.
Yeah.
But yes and no to that answer. While every state legislator is technically up for election, many Republican legislative leaders are actually running unopposed. Those include Senate Leader Phil Berger, House Speaker Tim Moore, Senate Rules Chair Bill Rabin, House Majority Leader John Bell, and House Appropriation Chairs Jason Sane and Donnie Lambeth. These legislators and others are definitely hoping Republicans pick up enough seats to regain a supermajority in both chambers like they had before the 2018 elections.
Supermajority, huh? Well, Catherine, the Republicans already have control over the state House and Senate. So, I mean, they already have a majority. Why would a supermajority matter?
Well, as of right now, we still have a Democrat in North Carolina's governor's mansion, and that's Roy Cooper. And we know that a simple Republican majority in the House and Senate is our current makeup of our legislature, like you mentioned, Elizabeth. With a simple majority, just one more Republicans than Democrats in either of those chambers, making a simple majority, Republicans can pass legislation without input from the Democrats on most issues. And the governor then has the opportunity to veto that bill and ultimately stop it. We saw this during the 22 short session that just ended with a bill that would have forbidden teachers from teaching critical race theory. Republicans had passed that bill despite pushback from many Democrats, and then Governor Cooper vetoed the bill, and Republicans did not have enough Democratic support to join them in overriding that veto, so the bill ultimately stalled and never became law. But with a supermajority, which would mean 30 seats in the Senate that are Republican and 72 seats in the House that are Republican, then the GOP would not need any support from Democrats to override the governor's veto. In other words, most of the legislation that they would pass would be veto-proof.
And I know that's a scary idea for a lot of Democrats. In fact, it's probably the worst case scenario for them. And we know Governor Cooper is a little worried about that, too, because he told the News and Observer in a story last week that Democrats will likely be on the defensive during this election.
You're correct. Democrats will definitely try to hold on to every seat and every vote that they can. We should probably note there is a chance, though, that Democrats could actually pick up enough seats to gain a majority in one or both chambers. But that still is a pretty much of a long shot for Democrats. But they certainly are working toward that outcome.
Yeah, what we're hearing is that most of the political pundits are saying Republicans are likely to gain or remain in power this election cycle, which would make sense with, you know, the forecast of whichever party is not in control of the White House tends to gain power. So if this were to happen, if the Republicans were to gain or remain in power, what would this mean for education in North Carolina?
Ah, so you're asking me to look in my crystal ball again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm for the fortune teller this Halloween. Here we go. So if state Republicans retain power or gain additional seats, we may be looking at some significant proposals for education changes and some other big issues come the long session, which starts in January. For public school issues, we're likely to see renewed efforts to pass the anti-critical race theory bill that I mentioned earlier, as well as a parental rights bill that had also stalled earlier this year in the short session. We also expect the GOP to tackle limiting abortion options, since that major issue has been passed down to the states now. Republican lawmakers also may delve into new voting regulations and some additional tax cuts for individuals and corporations. And we did hear House Speaker Tim Moore recently indicate that lawmakers should continue to increase education funding and incentivize teachers to work in counties and school districts that may not have as many opportunities, or in other words, they may have more challenges than some of their counterparts across the state. So we know that's something on his mind, at least as the current House Speaker.
For sure. And I mean, it definitely would help if we could get some incentives for these teachers to work in these districts that may not have, you know, as many resources as a lot of our high performing districts. And we also know that the teacher shortage is real. And a lot of our districts are really struggling with vacancies right now, especially in our non-certified and classified positions like bus drivers and nutrition workers. So in fact, this is a good opportunity for me to give our legislative survey a shout out. So if you are a school administrator in North Carolina, we have a legislative survey that I worked very hard on, but that opened on October 4th and will stay open until November 1st, so right before the election. So we would really appreciate it if you listeners out there took 15 minutes to respond and help us identify some of the priorities that you'd like us to seek on your behalf, no matter the election outcomes, whether it's a Republican supermajority or Democrats end up pulling out a few extra seats. We will be your advocate no matter what, but we would love your input on those priorities.
Thanks for mentioning the survey. And like Elizabeth just noted, please respond if you are a member of NCASA. And before we wrap up, Elizabeth, are there any other upcoming elections that our members and other educators need to know about?
Well, actually, Catherine, now that you mention it, we can't end the episode without talking about our local school board elections.
Ah, absolutely. Our friends at EdNC also just released a very helpful article on October 24th during the early voting period, and the article's entitled The Politics of North Carolina School Boards, which we've conveniently included in the show notes for this episode. In the article, EdNC notes, it's clear many community members are engaging and school boards have been, as of late, a focal point for local and often national politics, with The Economist even referring to them as a political cage matches, and the issues expanding way beyond those related to the pandemic.
That's right, Catherine. And that was a really great article. It also noted that this election could have lasting effects on North Carolina school districts, especially during this even-numbered election year when parents typically account for a larger share of the electorate.
So with the local school board elections being so critical, it's probably a good idea for us to take a closer look at some of the races this year. We know we have 115 traditional public school districts in North Carolina, and the majority of those have local school boards with 11 members, although the number of seats on each board ranges from 5 to 11 members, depending on the district. Currently, there are 759 total school board seats, and approximately one-third of those, 274 seats, are up for election across 79 districts on November 8th. Of those 274 open seats, there are 44 districts where the majority of the seats on the local school board are up for election.
That does sound pretty powerful, especially in those districts, like you were mentioning, Catherine. I mean, in other words, the balance of power could significantly shift in those 44 districts, depending on the voter turnout.
That's right. And we can't forget about how politicized our local boards of education have become. Of the 79 districts I mentioned having school board candidates in the November 8th election, 36 of those will be partisan, meaning the local party, the local candidate's party affiliation is clearly labeled on the ballot with his or her name. You can compare that to almost a decade ago in 2013, when there were only 10 partisan school districts in the state.
That is a pretty significant shift. And, you know, now that you mention it, Catherine, we do see quite a few bills during the legislative session from legislators from these districts requesting that certain local boards change from nonpartisan to partisan. And we know that, you know, there is an argument that it's helpful for voters to know where the candidates align politically. But, you know, there's also the counter argument that we should just be electing the best candidates for the job, regardless of political affiliation, and especially with, you know, the number of unaffiliated voters in North Carolina growing each year.
That's right. And of course, we should probably note that and remind folks that NCASA is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to working with whoever happens to be in a role to help govern our state. We work with all parties and all individuals who care about public education. We just know that from past experience, it's definitely easier for us and for our members to advocate for our schools and what they need when those in our membership and elsewhere across the state vote for supporters of public education, no matter their individual party affiliation.
Amen. You've got to do the research. And you and I, Catherine, we could talk politics all day, but that does seem to be a great note to end on. Vote early if you can. As of the time, the recording of this podcast, early voting is open. Vote on election day if you have to. You know, there's going to be a little bit more traffic, but we'd rather you do it on election day than not at all. But just please vote for candidates that will support public education.
And we'll be back after the election with a podcast episode to highlight all the election's results and their impact on the political climate that all the issues we've talked about today will likely face in January.
In the meantime, if you have other topics that you would like NCASA to feature on our podcast, we do have a little bit of time before we get too busy with the long session in January. So please email us at info@ncasa.net. And to learn more about any of the resources provided through NCASA, please reach out to our team via email, visit our website, ncasa.net, or follow us on Twitter at NCASA Tweets. We do tweet a lot and a lot of legislative updates as well. So thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again soon.
You've been listening to Public School Matters with the North Carolina Association of School Administrators. To stay up to date on legislation and policy news affecting K-12 education, we hope you'll join us for future episodes and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for helping us ensure that each public school in North Carolina matters.